This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Presented by Cheers and Prime Social. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Welcome back on ESPN 97.5. John and Lance, along with Dell, here. There it is. Composite. Why are you... Lance is watching TV, okay? You want to see what they say about Tim Anderson throwing his bat and then the Royals and White Sox?
I'm interested to see what Dan Orlovsky, a football player, and Jalen Rose, a basketball player, say about this. Because in sports, there's lines you don't cross, right? There's understood. I would hope that both of those guys would understand, would say, you can like it or not like it, but they should understand it. That there's been a long time. Well, here it is. Josh McCown says, I get the unwritten rules, I guess. However, it seems super petty getting pissed at a bat flip and in turn inflicting pain in retaliation. Try getting your face ripped by
a defensive end
and watching him dance. Well, that's true.
That is true.
Hear you. That is true. All I can tell, so unwritten rules versus let kids play campaign. They're bringing this up. You know, Jalen is from a time of basketball where there was some retribution on the court if you did certain things. So I'm kind of curious how they – there's certain things you do and don't do and that are acceptable. And I think a football player has to realize in baseball it's been a little different. Now, some guys do get away with the bat flip and nothing's done about it.
Well, I always –
now, that was a little over the top.
Yeah. I always thought it was weak that a pitch – and even Bob Gibson – You ask any of the guys back in the day, if somebody hit a home run off Bob Gibson, the next guy was getting it, was going to get. And I thought, that's crap. That guy just beat you, so you're going to. Even if he respected you and just ran around the bases and put his head down.
Tell people what happened yesterday, by the way.
Well, Tim Anderson of the White Sox hits a home run, and he turns around and he throws the bat at his dugout.
It wasn't really a bat flip.
No, it was a throw.
An aggressive throw, and then he yelled something into his own dugout, which I don't know what he said. That also could have been part of the problem.
That could be it.
And then he caught one in the hip, which is considered a very okay thing. Like, where you get hit.
That's important.
Is very, very important. That is considered
now that I could see pissing guys off, because if I strike you out, there is no batter retaliation.
That's
like what Lima
right?
used to do, you know, and scream into his glove as he's going off the field. That would piss guys off. But you know what? The Astros who were the most baseball unwritten rules team ever, Bagwell and Biggio, they were okay with Lima. You know why? He was on their team.
Yeah, they didn't love it, though.
They didn't,
Lima even said, he goes, they're not.
No, but they grew to love Lima because it was Lima. Lima was Lima.
I don't know that Biggio ever loved
and him. I thought, maybe
Bagwell
not.
Did.
Bagwell did. But I think, though, that they had to understand, too, this is how it is in the Latin countries.
I think if you ask them, If they would prefer he not do it.
Absolutely, they'd prefer he not do it. However, that, you know what, you have to also, I know that they're playing in America, but this is how they grew up. This is how they play. And you know what, you have to adapt a little bit too. That, however, was a bit showy for a kind of a meaningless home run against two meaningless teams, with two meaningless teams involved. And yeah, I mean, I don't know. Was he pissed off this pitcher? But we don't know the backstory either.
No, we don't. But let me put it this way: before a basketball player gets too sassy about it, if you dunk on somebody and you step over them, like there are certain lines you're not supposed to cross in basketball. The stepping over the thing is considered extremely disrespectful.
Yeah.
Extremely disrespectful, and a basketball player would not be having that. That's kind of the same. You have to understand what is considered equal in the sports. I don't know what it is in football, because here's the problem. There's physical violence taking place every single snap. There's a chance to put your hands on another guy. Wide receiver to cornerback, you can put your hands on each other, and it's legal. So there's a chance to work those things out through aggression and physicality. So I don't think that's one of the reasons I don't think there's the same.
I know what's disrespectful. Running out to the star in the middle of the field and doing your dance.
That's considered way too
over
much.
The top.
We know when it's too much.
Yeah.
We know when it's too much.
And if you're who was the defensive back that was standing over? Oh no, who was standing over? Antonio?
I also think stealing, who ripping somebody's over, chain off of their neck in the middle of a game is also considered disrespectful.
Was it the Michael
Crabtree move?
Yes. Well, that
Tlaib is that's also considered petty larceny.
Was it Juju that was standing over Perfect? Who was standing over Perfect? Yeah.
Yes, it was Juju.
Yeah, that you can't do.
I would think in this day and age with the injuries and that, I would think the standing over and staring at guys while they're hurt is considered a little
No. You're gonna catch one for that. You'll get a fresh one.
But they have rules. They have unwritten rules in football too.
Yeah.
They have some too. But there's physical contact to work it out. Like you can
Rosen is right, but that was back in the day. You used to be able to tear a quarterback's head off and then Mark Gastineau. It was Josh Rosen that wrote that, wasn't it?
No, it was Josh McCown.
Oh, Josh McCown.
Josh Rosen would have been outraged.
Yeah, right.
He's part of outrage culture. He would have been outraged.
Right. Oh, it was Josh McCown. Okay, well, Josh McCown's been around a while. He knows. He knows the unwritten rules. But back in the day, Mark Gastineau, he would tear your head off and then dance, do his sack dance, and you know, yet catch nothing. And you know that's a bit disrespectful, especially when you could actually hurt a guy. Uh-huh. Back in the day, uh-huh. That's when you could tear their head off, literally, and go head hunting on a guy. You can't do that anymore. So I don't know if sack dances are disrespectful, since you really can't. I guess you could still light up a guy. You could still light up a guy. And when you have a big hit, you celebrate it, right?
Yeah, I you don't get a lot of sacks, right?
No, so but a big hit on a clean big hit. On a receiver or a DB or whatever the case may be.
I think there's celebration. How long does it go on? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Okay, the stuff with Michael Irvin's, not even Michael Irvin, who's the one that used to always do the first down? If you're doing
Michael Irvin,
like
the first
a lot,
down.
But a lot of players
Cam does the first down now.
When you're down three touchdowns you're doing first down stuff,
that's a Notre Dame
thing.
That's
when it's considered one of those things like, dude, really? Yeah. I remember, I think it was Roy Williams in Detroit did it one time. He was doing hook 'em horns and he was doing first down stuff and they were down like 24. And that really rubbed a lot of people the wrong way.
Well, Miami was always a bunch of scumbags, were always dancing when they were up 550. And, yeah.
And?
That's
keep them out of the end zone.
Huh?
Keep him out of the end zone. You don't want to get danced on. Keep him out of the end zone.
How about show some class?
How about EAD and keep him out of the end zone?
If you don't like
getting danced on, keep them out of the end
class.
Zone.
Class. There's such a thing as winning the class.
Oh, yeah. College football is full of class. Okay. The fans care so much about class.
Yeah. Class. Have some
it's
class.
Only old BS college football fans only talk about class when their team is getting dunked on.
that's 100% true.
That is true.
Classless.
Oh, they're classless. Yeah, they're up by three touchdowns. That's why it's classless.
You know what else? You're also very gracious. I've noticed when teams win, that's when they love to say, hey, you guys did a great job, man. Your fan base is a class team. You know when you say somebody's a class team when you've beaten them?
Yeah.
You love saying that about.
Like Nebraska. Like I don't remember it happening in the 90s when Nebraska was really good, but now people talk to Nebraska fans. Wow, they're great for college football. No one was saying that crap when the Tomich guys and Winstrom was on steroids running college football. No one was talking about how Nebraska fans were great. You can say it now because they're a nothing program.
Well, I've been up in Missouri a lot the last couple of years. They never thought that.
Yeah,
they
of course
always
they
thought
did.
That they were the biggest the phoniest fans ever.
Of course, because they're college football fans. Right. They're phony.
Yeah.
No,
yeah,
right. But it's
they're a bunch of heels out there.
Well, yeah. It's cool to say that now because what is Nebraska? They're trying to get back to at least some semblance of mediocrity. Oh, they're great. They're great for No, they're always jerks too.
No, they got this phony. Yeah, because they beat you and they were so classy.
Yeah, when Lawrence Phillips was going for 180 on 12 carries, of course they're nice to
you. Cheering for that nice guy.
Yeah,
he was a good guy.
Awesome.
Lawrence Phillips.
That's what irritates me. The holier than now fan bases that. Like, Penn State can't say anything to anybody ever in history ever. you guys were putting a cape on for the worst stuff in the history. Like, Ohio State's right there with them. We already know, but they'll do that for anything.
Mm-hmm.
But Penn State, you got no legs to stand
Michigan
on.
When
State
you were, is right up there.
Yeah, Michigan.
Baylor's up there.
The Big Ten. Hey, people talk about Baylor. Did you see the Penn? What about the Michigan State
Michigan
stuff?
State.
Did you see the story about the girl who was raped by basketball players and then won't say their names? She's suing the university. Won't charge the play. What are you doing?
Yeah.
Why would you not charge the players?
Well, because then you'll be expelled from the school. You'll be ostracized.
This is 4 years. This you'll happened be, three or 4 years ago.
I know it doesn't matter.
Ago.
You're still. They'll still. Your life will be ruined. What the girl that turned in Jameis Winston? She had to leave because they were so. Everybody was so
college culture.
It is just the
it's
worst.
Just
and
brutal.
It started at Miami.
What? Wow, right. Is that the where it started?
No.
Was that ground zero for bad behavior?
Of course not. Yeah. It started at Miami. And it's weird that Miami rents so much space there. Apparently, I do, too. They haven't been relevant since 2001 or 2000,
Miami.
2003,
80s
really.
Miami, you were the bad boys. 80s
good.
Miami's
I hope Manny brings us back because it's not like everyone loved us when we were nicer.
Oh, it looks like he will. He's coming. He's coming into parties on
good.
Yachts.
Hashtag.
Okay? How about we drive in?
No.
In,
that's
why?
Like a Narcos thing.
In a Sebring. Like
why?
Everybody, a Sebring. Like everybody else.
No one liked Miami when we were old, man. We just gone
right
about
now.
Our business, not doing anything. No one likes Miami, so why wouldn't we be jerks?
Because that's what you are.
Yeah,
you
exactly.
What you are.
Embrace
no, do,
it.
Do what you
embrace
do.
It.
Okay. And Jeff Aronoff, do what he do. What he do is brings you marble, granite, tile. He brings you the hard stuff. Okay. Yeah, you want the hard stuff? That's what Jeff Aronoff and Absolute Marble and Granite brings you every single time. Chance tweeted out a picture of a granite countertop. It was actually colored concrete or whatever they do, however they do that stuff. Just beautiful. And that's the kind of work that Jeff Aronoff, I mean, he can make it really, really, really nice. And if you're, you know, you want to redo your kitchen or you're redoing your bathroom with your vanity, I mean, really nice. Would make it stone or you can make it concrete. You can, whatever it is that you want to do, dude is awesome. And he's doing this every day. His business is unbelievable. Absolute Marble and Granite is the way to go. He'll help you design it. He'll do it all. He is just blowing and going right now, and he wants you to give him a call and set up an appointment, free estimate, and 20% off because you're a 97.5 listener. 713-880-2822, 713-880-2822. It's Absolute Marble and Granite.
Well, hello! To call into the HR&P listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Cheers and Prime Social. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Del, have you ever seen videos of when Kendrick Lamar brings people on the stage to do this song with them?
No.
Yeah, you should. It's a YouTube rabbit hole worth getting into. There's one that will pop up about a girl who
she
didn't self edit
and she was of she was, your persuasion.
She was booed. I don't know if she was part German and part English and part French.
But if someone said, "Oh, that's Lance's daughter," they'd be like, "I could see that
possible."
Okay, and she didn't edit.
They'd say
herself.
She's a little old to be my daughter, but they would say, "Is she a cousin?"
What did she do?
She decided not to.
She didn't self-edit.
Well, sometimes.
Everything's fine until there's one little drop. So you say the. Now, it flows pretty. Can you find a clean version of it?
John,
and
understand.
It flows pretty quickly. Yeah, but I just want to hear how fast it goes.
John does the John versus
John
Genius
versus
thing.
Genius. Okay.
And he'll see lyrics, and I edit them for him so he doesn't stumble.
I didn't
stumble.
Know this. Now I got a brand new nerd thing I'm nervous about.
No, I edit them for him.
So he
doesn't have to stumble.
It.
I never. There's no words in there that he'll get in trouble.
I don't need any star, asterisk. But
no, I usually just put dude.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Just change the word completely. So anyway, on Mad City,
So dude is code?
Yeah, people didn't crack that code. That's what it means.
I hadn't cracked it yet. I thought they were saying dude.
So Kendrick Lamar will call somebody on stage to, and I would say, if you see the videos, he plays pretty big performances. I would say it's probably about 80% white, his concerts. I would, in that neighborhood. I went to when he was here for Day for Night 3 years ago. It was fantastic. It was. I mean, we're pretty diverse city anyway, so it was a more diverse crowd. But he pulls somebody up. He pulled the guy up here who is kind of corporate dough. He's kind of a joke, but it felt like he just kind of took it as a joke. But there's actually some people that are really, really good who come on stage with them, and then there are others who are not so good, and they have to get basically booed off stage, and he brings somebody else up to do it. But it is it's a little rabbit hole for you today. It's your cubicle. Go see. So Kendrick, people know these lyrics, and they go fast, and this is the kind of song where if you're good, you can get the flow going, and it comes off really, really well. But here in a second.
But do you think the girl in like in her car when she hears the song edits?
Right
doesn't,
here, right here. She said this. She said it in the crowd, and Kendrick had to take. And you know Kendrick's almost setting people up to fail there.
Of course
he's
he
just
is.
Waiting. He's like, hold on, hold on, hold on. He like stops it, and the whole crowd's, what? I just said the song.
Like,
oh, you didn't know this was set up.
You know that
fail?
Girl doesn't self-edit herself in the car.
Dummy.
Because some people will, maybe they just do it if they're filming themselves. They will edit themselves in the car. Because, look, I'll never say that word. So when it comes on, even in my own car,
right.
I'm going to edit. That girl never edits herself. And then she got caught in front of, I don't know, thousands of people.
Yeah, you need to edit that.
You self-edit that.
Even in, you're even go in your viral. Car by yourself.
Should all, just so you don't get in the practice of saying
yeah.
it.
Yeah. No. Don't do that. 7137. So you got in that rabbit hole?
So, yeah, I've been in that rabbit hole before. And then I'd had, then there was G-Eazy and some girl, because he's like the fastest. And so this one girl got on stage and she was warm. And she was like, it's machine gun style lyrics. And I couldn't believe it. I was on that one, too. And then then it started. Then I got into fights at rap concerts where rappers jumped off, where somebody attacked a rapper on stage, and then the whole entourage. Who would do that? You know what would be a great idea? For me to go run and jump on top of a rapper on stage, this is going to work out exceptionally well.
Or jump on stage for the wrestler who's going into the Hall of Fame.
Same thing. By the way, that went way worse than I thought it was going to go. He had MMA guys punching him.
Yeah, well.
That cannot be what you had hoped for.
What the hell is wrong with you?
Yeah, who thought that would work out well? Running on a football field and getting close to a football player.
No, don't do it.
Is not going to work out. You know what else didn't work out well? Back in the day when somebody decided, I'm going to jump on Bill Spires and get a pony ride from him. And Mike Hampton said, this is my free chance to go. Because I truly believe this.
Yes.
Athletes love the opportunity for fans to come on the field so they can legally beat them up. Because I think they want to beat up a lot of you. Like, they like to beat up a lot of fans.
Yeah, especially when you're
They'll never say this publicly, right?
Well, especially when you, from behind, jump on the back of a
But if you're a quote-unquote fan, then you are part of a group that yells at them and cusses at them and says stuff to them. Or you might as well have been somebody who said something ugly to them on Twitter. So if they get a chance, Can you imagine when Malice in the Palace broke out and Jermaine O'Neal saw two little squatty dudes run on the court and square up on him? He's like, oh my God, I get to fight them for free. Like, there's no penalties here. I get to punch this guy because he's squaring up on me and I get to beat him up. Like, this is amazing. I can't believe this opportunity arose. Mike Hampton saw a chance. I get to go beat this guy up in Milwaukee. And no one can press charges because I'm defending myself, although I didn't get jumped on and I ran out, you know, 340 feet to go beat him up.
A circle around the dude so where you couldn't see. The cameras really couldn't see what you were doing.
We got no good camera angles from that.
No.
Remember that?
Yeah. It was just the center field, behind home plate camera that was shooting out to right field, and they were standing around him and just wailing on him, but you couldn't see anything, which was good for them. I mean,
I truly believe if you ran on the field, if a if a player knew he could beat you up and it would, and just to get out some frustration on fans, they would totally like to beat you up.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't kid yourself. When you're getting autographs and they're smiling, taking pictures, part of them wants to beat you up.
Yes. Hey, tell Gilbert I got his DVD when he calls in, okay? Gilbert.
He already did call in.
But he can't come tomorrow. He can't come tomorrow because we're closed. He called in earlier, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he wanted to talk Astros.
Yeah.
That
was not the time to do it.
That's not what he wanted to do. So we haven't even talked about the Texans. What about starting at the Saints? Not a great place to start.
All right, pull up. You got the schedule?
I got it, yeah.
All right, so.
At the Saints on Monday Night Football.
It's a great game, though.
That's not a great way to start a season.
But it is if you win. It is if you're a good team.
Yeah.
You go in and beat New Orleans, you immediately make a statement.
Again, okay. I want you to give me the Bill O'Brien signature wins.
So, right there, that one.
I don't think they've played
that
game.
That's going to be one.
I'm pretty sure they haven't played that game yet. No, you know what? This will be Bill O'Brien's greatest win ever.
Okay.
If he beats...
playoff wins, but that's fine.
What playoff wins? The Raiders with Connor
Bengals?
Cook?
Bengals?
No.
Was that Gary?
Yeah.
Has it been that long since they played the Bengals and beat the Bengals?
Yeah. Connor Cook is his only win.
JJ's touchdown was like 2012. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. I don't know.
I want his signature win.
Playoff wins, Raiders. I don't care if it's Connor Cook. Play the man. Guess who he had at quarterback? Somebody terrible.
He hasn't beaten a good quarterback ever.
He's got some wins that are we've done this before.
Cincinnati Bengal win when they were 9-0.
Were there none when they won? How many did they win in a row?
11 in a row. No signature wins. So they went to Philadelphia. Would have been his biggest win ever, and they blew it.
They won those games, and like none of them mattered to fans. This season blows.
Fans were right. It was fool's gold. As soon as you play a good quarterback, you're going to get your ass handed to you.
No, that was the case.
You know what? I didn't believe it. I didn't want to believe it, but it was true.
Well, it doesn't mean that you can't be happy when they win a game.
No, you can be happy.
Or double digits.
Yeah, no. They won 11 in a row.
No one was happy.
No.
Everyone just wanted the season to end so they could get it over with. Like, okay.
Well... No, I loved the ride. I was excited, but it was true. It was true what everybody was saying.
But I still think that's a good way to open a season. Go to New Orleans, get them early, and you have to play them anyway. You know the Texans have the fourth hardest schedule.
Yeah.
Strength of schedule.
Well, yeah, because...
So you got to play them anyway.
Look at the divisions that are playing. Man, I just love playing the AFC East. You got to play New England anyway, but you don't get the Bills, the Dolphins, and the Jets. That sucks.
You know the Colts have a lighter schedule than the Texans?
Well, they were second place.
I feel like they won the division.
No.
Well, the way they slaughtered the Texans in the last two games.
Well, says you.
But yeah, they've got a light. Guess who has one of the easiest schedules?
Patriots. Because they play the AFC East every year. Six games against the East.
That's true.
That's why.
The Dolphins are tanking this year. You know we're not allowed to say that on the NFL Network? Because you probably don't – really on no network, you're not really supposed to say
– No.
Because no NFL team – you can't tell when NFL teams tank for sure. But the Dolphins literally got rid of their top passer, rusher, receiver, and sack guy. Like, that feels like it could be a tank.
Well, I mean, it's relative. It's Danny Amendola and Frank Gore. Okay.
Yeah.
Two 30-plus-year-olds.
No, that's true.
No, but isn't this like one of the first times this has ever happened?
Yeah, it's a 30-plus also. Yeah, Cameron Wake. He's another 30-plus-year-old.
It's the second time it's happened.
But it wasn't like they jettisoned 26-year-olds.
But they've already... Here's what I've heard behind the scenes. The Dolphins have zero interest in a quarterback. They're waiting for next year.
Tua?
Well,
Tua, you know, or Herbert. Or if they suck next year... They've got a 2-year contract on your boy, and they'll wait for
Trevor Lawrence.
Trevor.
Problem is planning for that.
They don't like
but
the quarterbacks.
Be number one.
They don't like the quarterbacks this year, so don't expect the Dolphins. I put Haskins to the Dolphins, and I was told you can take any quarterback off of there for the Dolphins because they want to be bad.
Mm-hmm. Well, you could be bad.
Why didn't they pick up Ryan Fitzpatrick then?
That's my problem. Why don't you? Well, because you still have to try to sell like you're trying.
I'm sorry.
Because my point was they had like David Fales. If you really want to suck, just play David
Fales.
That's
too obvious. You'll get fined. That's too
fine.
Obvious.
Why he played last year?
That's too
obvious. He was on the roster last year. Just play him.
Obvious if you're starting David. By the way, have you seen Ryan Fitzpatrick?
He likes cake in the offseason.
He likes cake. He's gained. I guess he's gained like 12 to 15 pounds. And he came in all top heavy, and he goes, all right, I want to talk about my weight gain.
So I've got like three, we got like three birthdays that take place all at the same time. And I ate a bunch of birthday cake and I just decided to just not work out until we ate, got through the birthdays and I ate a bunch of cake. He actually, this is an actual real interview where he talked about how much cake he ate and that's why, and now he's going to try to get in shape.
And in one interview, he
I feel like he's this got, is another tank move.
Well, in one interview, he's already got the Miami media on his side. Ryan Tannehill could never do that. He doesn't have the personality for it. And Ryan and everyone loves Ryan Fitzpatrick down there.
Everybody loves him everywhere.
Right. No, he's awesome.
He's a wildling.
Now he wears the chains.
He did the Conor McGregor, which looks spot on. He just wore DeSean Jackson's clothes, and he looks spot on, which is crazy. You know what else is spot on? The work that Stephen Shell and Texas Custom Patios does is spot on. And if you don't believe me, go to their website, texascustompatios.com, and I want you to see some of the work that they've done, some of the custom designs that they have for your particular space. When they come out, they can look at your space and they envision, and it's like this when people, you know, the interior designers go into your home or remodelers and you can't see it, but they can see it. It's the same way with an outdoor space, whether it's an outdoor living area like I have, patio, it's an outdoor living area, or an outdoor kitchen or a combination of the two, or a freestanding area that you want to build because you don't really have the room for it on your house, or they build onto your house and they'll blend and match the pitch of the roof and whatever type of roofing material you have, they blend it perfectly so it looks like it was built that way, which is what they did for me. Texas Custom Patios does amazing work, high quality work. They can deck out your entire backyard. They've got a window guy, a siding guy. They do the best floors or stamp concrete or travertine, whatever you're looking for. They get drainage that they can add to your backyard. They can even dress up your landscaping. They do it all, and they do it at a very, very fair price for the quality of work that you're going to get. They're the best in the state of Texas. They've been named that. They've won multiple awards. Go to the website, texascustompatios.com, or if you want to see the before and after on my backyard, which will blow you away, go to tcplance.com. That's tcplance.com.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
I don't blame it, Don.
Yeah, I'm gonna take my horse through the old town road. I'm gonna ride till I can't no more. I'm gonna take my horse through the old town road. I'm gonna ride till I can't no more.
I got the horses in the back. Horse stock is attached. Head is matted black. Got the
this black is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Cheers and Prime Social. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 851 ESPN 975-737-803-776.
Hey, to Rockets. We haven't had a chance. We're almost 2 hours in. We really haven't had a chance to get to Rockets. Well, we didn't really go very far, but let's finish up Texan schedule. Because we need to look at some of the highlight games.
Okay, which one?
Well, I mean, the game against the Colts.
We
is
did
a,
the Saints. Okay. Right? So Jacksonville's the first home game.
Colts is a win, by the
Jacksonville
way. Who do you have in the Colts game? I mean, in the Saints game?
I got the Saints.
I'm going Texans.
Jacksonville at home. I got the Texans.
Texans.
At the Chargers.
I just think it was fool's gold last year. Phillip Rivers is old. I'm going to go Texans here. Who you got?
I just don't think they beat any good quarterbacks, if you want to know the truth. I just don't. I haven't seen it. Until they prove me different. Until they prove otherwise.
Who's the next one?
Panthers here. Falcons here.
It's a win, and that's a win.
Thunder sticks lands. Yeah, I don't know. They started slowly last year. I'm worried about their start. I'm worried about them playing. They didn't
Do you
beat
think they'll
one
beat
good,
the Falcons?
They didn't beat one good quarterback.
Do you think they'll beat the Panthers
and they
and
lost
Falcons?
The good, the bad quarterbacks.
Do you think they'll beat the Panthers and Falcons?
I'm not sure about the Falcons. Okay. I think they'll beat the Panthers.
All right, we'll give you two. I've got six wins so far. You got two. Let's clearly see you don't remember how this game is played.
At the Chiefs.
Loss.
There's no way you can put that.
I can't even spin it.
At the Colts. So their first seven games, if they win three of these games, I'm going to be happy. If they start 3-4.
No, you're not.
No, yes, I will.
You weren't happy with a 10-game win streak. You're not going to be happy 3-4.
No, I will, because here's the deal. Then here's the deal. That means you have beaten a couple of good quarterbacks. Something you haven't done. It will actually be, if they start 3-4, be Bill O'Brien's best wins ever here.
You know the Panthers and Falcons really weren't that good last year, right?
Yeah.
They're overrated.
Yeah.
The Panthers and Falcons, the Falcons have been dead since they screwed up the Super Bowl. They're just not the same team. And frankly, either of the Panthers, and Cam Newton's not 100% healthy, and that Panthers team doesn't scare anyone anymore.
Yeah. No.
I'm not afraid of them.
No. They're winnable games. Don't get me wrong.
We're going to do this for real.
So they're winnable games, but none of the road games, I think, they're going to win.
Chargers.
So I think they beat the Jaguars. They could beat the Falcons. They could beat the Panthers. Colts. But I don't see them beating at the Saints on Monday night. I don't see them going to L.A. and winning. See them beating the Chiefs at the Chiefs. And I don't see them beating the Colts at the Colts.
Those are all pretty tough. I mean, we're talking about Saints, Chargers, Chiefs, and Colts.
Talk about top-heavy. The first seven games, honestly, if they're 3-4, I think they got a good shot. Because then they got the Raiders. They beat them. They're at Jacksonville. They beat them in London.
Your first three, Saints.
They're in London. They beat
Saints,
them.
Chargers, and Chiefs were all Super Bowl contenders at the end of last year. I mean, the Colts had a nice season. But I don't think anyone really thought they were going to get to a Super Bowl or win a Super Bowl. But the Saints, Chargers, and Chiefs, there was buzz about all of those teams in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
That's going to be a little...
Thank you.
But which one of those teams is most likely to fall off? Because it always happens. Minnesota fell off?
Well, the Chargers are most likely to fall off.
I would say...
Except they've actually been really good the last 2 years. They started so slowly 2 years ago, and the field goal kicker, if he could kick, they would have been in the playoffs 2 years ago. They were in the playoffs last year. I mean, that's a good football team.
I'm going to throw this at you. I think Drew Brees is a 40-year-old quarterback. There's always that chance that they could. And then I also think that the Chiefs, you know, I don't think it can go like it went last year. I don't think it's possible for all the defense coordinators to have no answers. We got to see what happens with Tyreek Hill. That's a really, really big one. Their offensive line, they just lost Mitch Morse. They lost Chris Conley. They weren't running the ball that well without Kareem Hunt. They've got a target on their back.
Yeah.
Right? So I don't think it's going to be as easy for them as it was last year. They're not going to be the darling.
I think they're still going to be pretty good.
They'll be pretty good, but just like with Deshaun Watson, where it got a lot tougher, I think it's going to get tougher for Pat Mahomes.
Oh, it has to. I mean,
Justin Houston,
D-Ford. You think he throws another 50?
Justin Houston, D-Ford, both gone. So both of your pass rushers are gone.
Their defense was the worst anyway.
Yeah, but it just got worse. Well, Breland Speaks sucks. That's their edge guy.
Yeah, well, guess what? Those guys didn't get to anybody last year.
And they have no secondary. They have no secondary, no pass rush. The only difference is, I think the Raiders could make a little step up. They got three first-round picks. I think the Raiders could take a little step forward. And I think the Chargers win the division. Denver, to me, is just, their time is coming gone.
At Jacksonville, they win that. At the Ravens, they can win that. At home, they can win.
Jacksonville's in London, you mean, right?
In London.
Okay.
At the Ravens, they can win. The Colts at home will be difficult, but they can win that football game.
At the Ravens, there's a pretty decent chance it'll be a dog.
The Patriots here on a Sunday night, that will be difficult, I think. We'll see how they are without Gronk. We'll see how Brady is without Gronk.
It's not a walk in the park.
Denver then at Tennessee, at Tampa. I'm telling you, if they start 3-4, this is a playoff team.
This is going to be a bad year for the Patriots. Tom Brady retires after this year, and this is going to be a sub-10 win Patriots.
You've
season.
Been saying this for a few years.
No, Gronk is gone. Right. Every time Gronk has been, go take a look at his numbers without Gronk. It's bad. It's not just good.
One
and
of
not
these
great.
Years, you're going to be right about this, though.
Yeah, because the year Gronk's gone.
Well, maybe.
Yeah,
but it's still Brady.
When Gronk hasn't been there, now you say that, but we got a pretty good sample size of Brady not being good without Gronkowski. Yeah. I mean, stats aren't good. Wins aren't good.
Would it shock you if there's a big tight end out there that they draft in the first round?
Yeah, because they'll be gone by the time they get it.
You think so?
Yep. Fant will be gone, and they don't like Fant. Fant will be gone, and T.J. Hockenson's definitely going to be gone. And Irv Smith doesn't scare me. Hockenson scares me.
But they don't, and they got a lot of, they could trade up if they want to. They could go get Hawkinson if they want to. They got plenty to trade for, but I just, that's not really their MO to trade up for guys. So,
but they need it bad.
They do. But
when did they get Gronk? Third round? Second round?
They got him, I think, third. He was he was an injury guy. That's why he got him where they did. And they draft tight ends. They just don't draft them in the first. You know what they draft in the first? They drafted two running backs under Bill Belichick, but they draft O-line, D-line, and linebackers.
Yeah.
That's what they draft in the first.
All right. Verheel joins us on the other side. Get his thoughts on that. The Rockets, the Astros. Hey, the Astros, 10-game losing streak over.
Winning streak over.
I mean, winning streak over. Is that something that is the city in mourning?
I don't think the city even noticed.
Oh, really? 2-1 against the A's, against the vaunted A's?
Exactly. They
the
didn't
city
notice.
Noticed.
Yeah. 858 ESPN 97.5. Time for you to talk about Craig Day Surf.
I love Craig Day Surf. He's Danish. There he is, birthday cake, by the way. But I can tell you this about the website, LandZCars.com. It reroutes you immediately to the home site where they have 304 vehicles right now in stock. But there are areas where you go. You can go to specials where they've got service and parts specials, new car specials, demo vehicles. You can go get rates on demo vehicles, which I think is a great one. They've got a new 2018 Chevy Silverado 1500 crew cab, short box, two-wheel drive, high country, okay? That MSRP is $54,000 right now. They've got it for over $48,000, and they've got huge, huge savings on that price coming in when you trade in your vehicle. When you trade in your vehicle with Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC, they are extremely aggressive in giving you more than anyone else will. And if you want an idea of what they can do for you, you can go online and text right there on the website. The chat function is at the bottom right. Make sure that you go to LanceZCars.com and go look for that GMC Sierra pickup truck, that Chevy Silverado, the iconic Chevy Suburban, or how about the Yukon or Yukon Extended Body? And I haven't even gotten into the crossover vehicles, which are absolutely dominating the Houston roadways right now. They've got them for Buick, Chevy, and GMC. Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC. Out in Angleton, the few extra miles will be a few extra thousands in your pocket. That's guaranteed. LanceZCars.com.
This is Carlos Correa, All-Star and World Series champion, and big fan of Gulf Coast, Chevrolet, and Angleton. No one will treat you better. Chevy, find new roads.